Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come to you this morning thanking you that you are a God that changes us and transforms us to where we can be forgiven and then we can love one another. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for your truth. And I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to transform us to look like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're still in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. It's been a little bit of a journey, and we're not done yet. And so as we've looked at each individual person, and if you will follow along with me, we get to our next section, and it reads, "And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." And that's where we're at this morning. We are going to look at the prophets of the Old Testament. First of all, I want to make note that prophets are chosen. And you see that in Numbers chapter 12, starting in verse 6. It reads, "Hear now my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I will speak to him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he will serve, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" God chooses prophets. Not only does he choose them, but one of my favorite chapters regarding a prophet is in Isaiah chapter 6, as we see Isaiah being called. And in Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" So not only was Isaiah chosen, but he was also called. And what are prophets called? They're called to be God's messenger to his people. You see that in the next verse in Isaiah chapter 6, when God said to Isaiah, "Go and tell this people." Now, when you put yourself in Isaiah's shoes, and in fact you're going to see this as we talk about prophets, and you get that command to be a prophet and to go, up to that point, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? To go and be a messenger for God. But prophets weren't always successful, and they're not successful because of themselves, but they were never meant to be successful. And in fact, look at what God tells Isaiah. He said, "Go and tell this people." And look at what he says. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? You got to understand why he asked that, right? Okay, God, you want me to go and you want me to tell the people. You don't want them to understand. How long? Look at what God said. Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. Not really a victory lap, huh? But this is what God wants Isaiah to do. How about Ezekiel? There's another prophet. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3. It reads, Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. So far, so good, right? I'm picking you. You're going to be a messenger for me. Eat the scroll. The scroll tastes sweet like honey. Sounds good. Now look at verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language. In other words, he's not sent to be a missionary on foreign soil. But to the house of Israel, and not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Called, but not always successful. Called to speak the truth of God. And from the very beginning, they knew that no one would listen. But they were still obedient. As we put this in the context of Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter that's known as the Hall of Faith, we see the prophets being obedient. Obedient despite the fact that they would not be accepted. Sometimes we're called to do that. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. That doesn't mean that you're going to be successful all the time, right? But you still got to be a witness. You still got to tell the truth. You still have to be obedient. See, there's a lot of things that we can learn from the prophets of the Old Testament. And the fact that as we see that they are called to serve in a society filled with sin, but yet be obedient, we are as well. We're called to be faithful and obedient, no matter what our environment is. In addition to being called at times without the possibility of success, they were also called sometimes to do some very strange things that didn't make a lot of sense at all. For example, Isaiah was told to walk naked and barefoot for 3 years. Jeremiah was told to wear a yoke. Ezekiel was told to lay down on his side for 390 days and to bake barley cakes over a fire of human dung. Kind of strange, huh? But they all had a purpose. They all represented something that God was trying to communicate to His people. And when you look even at the life of Ezekiel in more detail, so much of Ezekiel's message wasn't preached to a large congregation or a large crowd. He was told to preach in his house. He also lost his wife as a testimony to a rebellious group of people. Sometimes God calls us and things just don't make sense. We live in a world a lot like the prophets did. A world that doesn't understand and know God. And I'm sure that as Isaiah walked around naked and barefoot for 3 years, people looked at him like he had kind of lost it. And when you think about how we are to live in a world and an environment of sin, we are called to be, as the Bible says, a peculiar people. And I think it's safe to say that the older we get, and as we look around and as we look at a world that is drifting farther and farther away from God, it is getting more easy to be peculiar looking because we live in a world that looks different than we do. We live in a world that thinks differently than we do. And I'm here to tell you today, if you work in society, you might as well expect that people are going to look at you and treat you differently if you follow Jesus Christ. They treated the prophets differently. We'll get to that in a moment. Why should we expect anything different in our life as we stand, as we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ? The world doesn't understand us. They don't accept us because we're meant to be peculiar. Not only did they do strange things at God's commands to be a witness or a testimony, but they also were known to be killed. Matthew 23, starting in the 29th verse, this is what Jesus said. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.' Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous bloodshed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." Prophets weren't known to live long lives. And they weren't known to live long lives because they stood for truth. And we shouldn't expect anything different as we stand and proclaim the truth of God in a world that does not know Him. We should expect some form of persecution. You know, we're blessed in this country, and I think we don't realize how blessed we are in the ability to stand and proclaim God's truth. Yeah, could you be persecuted at work? Yeah, absolutely. You could be persecuted at work. I'm not denying that. You could be persecuted at work. You could be persecuted at home. But try being a witness for your faith in Saudi Arabia this morning. It will not go well for you. We live in a world where Christians still face dangers for their belief. And we should expect in our world some form of persecution. Because just like prophets of old, we stand and we tell the truth. And the world hates the truth. The world hates the truth. The world hates Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, the church has fallen into the trap of not standing and boldly proclaiming the truth, but trying to mask the truth. Now, the Bible says the law is the tutor that brings us to Christ. And as we stand and we proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ is that sinful man stands in condemnation by a holy and righteous God. And without Jesus Christ, man is condemned to hell. But unfortunately, there are people today who say, well, you know, you can't say that. That might be offensive. You can't use the word sin. Your church isn't supposed to look like a church. In fact, driving in College Station this week, there's a church on one of the main thoroughfares that there's no word church anywhere. You will not see the word church. And in fact, the word sanctuary has been changed to, that's the arena. No church, no sanctuary. Let's remove every church-related word because we might offend people. I think people should be more concerned about offending God. And it's our job as believers to stand and proclaim the truth because the law is the tutor that brings us to Christ. I was saved in 1976, as I've mentioned many times before, in a revival service. And there was one common theme in that revival service as I sat there for four nights. And as the pastor stood up to preach, every single night, there was absolutely no doubt during his message that I was a sinner. No doubt that I was a sinner, and there was absolutely no doubt that the only answer to my problem in life was Jesus Christ. Absolutely no doubt. It was extremely clear that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus. And I responded to that message. But unfortunately, we live in a world where we have dumbed down, watered down the message. And when you compare it, were the prophets of old, did they pull any punches? Did they soften any words? No, they proclaimed the truth. Now, we're to be graceful, but we have a truth to proclaim. And that truth at the end of the day is that we are sinners and we need Jesus Christ. That's it. And because of their proclamation of the truth, they suffered greatly. They were persecuted. They were rejected. Isaiah was sawed in two. But yet they still were found to be faithful. Why were they faithful? Because they looked to Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verse 10. Of this salvation, referring to our salvation through Jesus Christ, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The prophets were faithful because they continued to look to Jesus Christ. They didn't understand it. When you look at verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Give you a great example of that. Isaiah 53, suffering servant chapter. When you look at that and you look at how God used Isaiah to vividly point to what Jesus Christ would endure on the cross, did Isaiah understand it? No, he didn't. But God used him. And you have to put yourself in Isaiah's shoes as God spoke through him and as he wondered, how is all of this going to come about? He wondered, but he was faithful. Which leads us to this idea that you and I may not understand things completely, but we've got to trust him. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. In other words, my friend, we don't completely understand it. We can't fully comprehend it. We get a glimpse of it. But man, when we get to heaven, it all makes sense. And because I have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can be confident and you can be confident. We can be steadfast. We can be faithful because we know who has the victory, and that victory is in Jesus Christ. It's just in Him. It's not in my possessions. It's not in my entertainment. It's not in my worldview apart from Jesus Christ. The only thing that we can have confidence in is Jesus Christ. The only thing that lasts is Jesus Christ. The only thing that gives us total joy and peace and contentment is Jesus Christ. See, that's where our faith should lie. Are you going to understand it completely? Absolutely not. As you go through a trial or tribulation, just as the prophets were told to stand and be faithful but not be successful, as you go through a trial and tribulation, are you going to understand it completely? Absolutely not. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to comprehend it. But I know one thing. We serve a Savior who loves us and cares for us and wants the best for us and is changing us and molding us to look like Him. And we got to rest in that. And as we rest in it and as we're faithful, we are a testimony. Just as I and you look at the Old Testament prophets of old and we see faithfulness and it encourages us to be faithful, my friends, when you and I are faithful, no matter what's coming our way, we are a testimony for the power and the peace and the contentment that we have through the Lord Jesus. Will you join with me in prayer? Father, I just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that we have wonderful examples of Old Testament prophets who were faithful regardless of their circumstances or their environments. Faithful to the end, faithful no matter what. And I pray, Lord, that we may be found faithful, that we may stay true, that we may boldly proclaim, just as the prophets, thus says the Lord. I pray that you'd work through us and in us. I pray that we might be a beacon of light to a lost generation. We know that we can't do it without you. We know that we have to lean on you, that you have to work through us. I pray that we'd continue to surrender our will for your will in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.